Matthew chapter 1. We'll have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we do give you praise and glory. And Lord, we're thankful for your Son, Jesus. The Lord, not only are we thankful that you sent him, but dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we have a relationship with him. Dear Heavenly Father, that you introduced yourself to him, to us, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, we received you, dear Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, maybe not all of us received you right away, but Lord, you were patient with us and you dealt with us and you worked with us. And dear Lord, you brought us to a place to be saved. And as Brother Burt mentioned, dear Lord, we're thankful that we had a desire to want the things of God. Dear Lord, we've seen that you showed us there are two ways. And dear Heavenly Father, the way of making heaven, as we spoke of this morning, far outweighed the things of this world. And Lord, we're thankful for that. And dear Lord, we're thankful for your goodness to us. We're thankful for the word, dear Lord. We're thankful that we have the word that tells us about your Son. And dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us this evening. The Lord, you see the thoughts that I'm going to present tonight. And dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless each and every heart that's here this evening. Bless and anoint the word. Anoint me that I'll bring as you to have us to. In Jesus' name we ask and we pray. Amen. I was thinking of the song that we sang, went along with it too, and I also want to get that. I want to make mention of that this evening too. In Matthew chapter 1, we're going to pick up here in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When is his mother Mary was the spouse of Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall save his people from their sins. The Spirit of God told Joseph that he and Mary were going to have a child. And told him that Mary is with child and with the Holy Ghost. And I talked this morning about some foundations. And this is another foundation. Now there's an order in God's family. The Bible says that God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of church. Man is the head of woman. That's the process. And you see here that God came to Mary, or God came to Joseph, and he said to Joseph in verse 21, she shall bring forth a son. And he told him what the name was. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Jesus. Sister Ann sang that song. There's something about that name. All my years, I only remember maybe, and especially American, I know sometimes foreign countries have different ones, but I only remember one kid that I went to school with that his mother named him Jesus. And it was almost a derogatory type statement, somewhat, I feel. But the song says there is something about that name. Jesus. 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 There's just something about that name. Master. Savior. Jesus. Like a fragrance after the rain. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim, kings and kingdoms, they'll all pass away, but there's something about that name, Jesus. Lord impressed on me somewhere this morning, And I've never know if I ever brought a thought about it, but just thinking about this evening, the word, the name, and him, Jesus. Jesus. And tonight I want to do that. I want to lift up the name of Jesus. I want to reflect on him a little bit and talk about him a little bit. The song that we sang, Jesus Saves. When we heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves. And the writer of this song, through three different stanzas here, mentioned it each time. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news through every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tonight we're going to lift up his name, as I mentioned. And as I mentioned here, reading here in Matthew chapter 1, as Mary and Joseph, they weren't married yet. They had never been together as a husband and wife, as we read there. But she had came with child. She was a virgin. She had never known a man. And Mary and Joseph did not get to pick their child's name. How many of us that have children before remembering trying to choose a name, especially if you all have had several children, trying to find a name. I know Brother Herschel and Sister Ann had three girls. It might have been different. You had a boy, a girl, a boy, and Sister Jerry's had several. But after a while, you think, what names are we going to have? And some people have different ways they name their children, and they pick certain letters for girls, certain letters for boys, or whatever. But Mary and Joseph didn't have the opportunity. God told them, this is what his name is going to be, Jesus. And he goes on down to that verse. We didn't read down another couple of verses there in verse 23. Jesus, Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Wherefore God has also exalted him, in verse 10, and at that name of Jesus every knee should bow, of the things in heaven and the things in earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I know Sister Ann mentioned it during that song there, and then here in Philippians it says that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. And we see over in Romans chapter 14, there's a coming a time where it will say, every knee shall bow. And every knee shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the name that we're worthy, he is the name we're supposed to be worthy of, to give God praise, the name of Jesus. Every tongue and every knee, that one day they shall confess that his name is Christ. There's a song that I sing. I'm gonna sing that song as we go sing some different, bring some different thoughts in this song.
Lighthouse at sea. the rock of the ages. He's a friend to me. Many times I've called his name, prayed for forgiveness when used in vain. Ah, but there's a peace in knowing his forgiveness, it stays the same. Oh, same is in his story, things he spoke, the whole world now reads. His name is Jesus, but you can call him as you please. They call him Emmanuel, the King of all kings. He's the Son of the Father, the Prince of Peace. They call him Hosanna, a lighthouse at sea. He's the rock of ages. He's a friend to me.
Song there goes on. They call him Emmanuel, the King of Kings. He's the Son of the Father, the Prince of Peace, Jesus. They call him Hosanna, the lighthouse at sea. His name is called Jesus. The blood of Jesus has been represented in all different thoughts through the world, through the Word. We see back in the Old Testament that the blood of bulls and goats, they were used as a type of blood for Jesus Christ. God had ordained it that way, that he knew in types and in future time that Jesus was going to be born, that they brought the sacrifice of a bull or a goat or animals, and they gave them sacrifice there on the altar. And because of this, because of the sacrifice that they did, that allowed them to have the entry into the tabernacle that God required Moses to build, into that first room. There was an altar there. Blood was to be spread. And that allowed access to go into the first room there. And inside that first room, we see there was some items in there. There was a candlestick. And there was a table with bread. Thank God, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, today we have access to salvation. We have ability for that first room to be able to be in there, to have light in our pathway, to have the Word of God to be able to be in our everyday life, the desires of those things. And then, of course, there was also another altar in front of that, in that first room, in front of the curtain of the second room. There had to be blood spread on that one also. And that blood had to be applied to that altar to allow the high priest to have access into that room also through, and we call that today, salvation and sanctification. There were other things that the blood represented, other types of things that were used. We see back in the Old Testament that God used goats. Two goats they used to bring. One was an scapegoat and one was a goat for sacrifice. They had a goat that they, again, give sacrifice on the altar. They killed that. And then there was a second goat that the Bible says that they put all their sins, all their impurities, all the things upon this goat, a representation of sin, and they took it out and they cut it loose in the desert. That was Jesus. That was Jesus for our sins, for our needs. We couldn't bear our sins. We couldn't have sins in order to go to heaven. And Jesus took your sins and my sins. Jesus did that. And only Jesus Christ could do that. Amen. He took all those things, all those times that we lied, all those times that we cursed. I sang that song, and I never did it. That was the only problem I ever had about that song. All the times that I used Jesus' name in vain, I thank God that I never used foul language in Jesus' name. But there are many people that use God's name in Jesus' name. They cursed, they swore, they drank, they committed adultery and fornication, all the things. And all that was laid upon Jesus Christ as that scapegoat, and it was taken outside the city and cut loose for the release of the burdens of their sins. That was Christ. That was Jesus. He was a serpent on the staff. When Moses and the people would reject God, and God sent the serpent through the town there, through the city, through the people, and the serpent were to bite the people, and the people were to die, and they came to Moses, and they cried to Moses. They said, what do we do? And God went to Moses. He goes, build this serpent, and set it upon a staff, set it upon a pole, and for whoever were to look upon that serpent, they would be healed if they'd been bit. It was another representation of Christ. Sin, we get bit by sin. We get not, and it's a spiritual thing in one sense, but it's also a natural thing. Sin kills. When sin comes in people's lives, it kills, it destroys, it separates us from God, and it can even kill physically. People can get so wrapped up in certain sin to where their lives are ended shortly. And back in this time, God did it as a representation. Just as he did as Moses lifted up the serpent on the pole, the Bible says, when Christ is lifted up, I shall draw all men unto me if they look to me, and they can be free from the burden and the bite of sin that is there. He's represented as that. He's also the stem of Jesse. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 11. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of the roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the Spirit of the counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. Verse 1 says, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. We know the stem of Jesse. We know that when Saul had sinned against God, and God had rejected Saul from being king, and God had came to Samuel, and he said, Samuel, I'm going to anoint someone else to be king. And he says, I want you to go to Jesse's house. And God and Samuel said, if I go there, Saul will know what I'm doing, and he'll kill me. And he told him to bring a sacrifice there and some things, and to do some things there. And so Samuel goes to Jesse's house, and he says, I want to see your sons. And you know how the story is. Jesse brought all his sons before him. And the very first son he brought to him, God says, that's not the one. And the second son he brought to him, God said, that's not the one. And the third and the fourth and the fifth and the one on down through there. And he says, Jesse, don't you have any more sons? He goes, I got one more. He's outside taking care of the sheep. He goes, bring him in. He goes, bring him in. And he said, when he seen him, he was of fair countenance. He was good. The Bible says he was good to look at. He was a goodly child to look at. And God let Samuel know at that very time, anoint David to be king of Israel. And we see through that time that the same thing, out of the unusual order of how God calls, of how God delivered David to be king. And of course, he was anointed king, and he didn't become king for like another 15 years or so. He still didn't become king and fought against Goliath and won the battle against Goliath. But God used unusual circumstances. Amen. And we can go, we read over there in Matthew where it talks about where God talked to Joseph about being called Jesus. And you go back into the genealogy there, and you'll see there, if you want to go back there, it's real early in the verses there. I think it started in verse 6 there. And Jesse begat David, the son of David, and begat Solomon. So you see there at the very beginning of the lineage of Jesus Christ, it was through that part of Jesse, a branch, a stem, that God brought about Jesus Christ. Go back to Isaiah chapter 4. Shouldn't have left there, but I was. Isaiah chapter 4. Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 2. And that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent, and the coming for from them that are escaped of Israel. A branch. Jesus Christ is the main branch. He's the branch that I remember David was mentioning this morning a little bit. We're engrafted into that branch. None of us are natural Jews. None of us are part of the blessings of God. We were engrafted into the branch of Jesus Christ when salvation, when we accepted Christ and the blood of Jesus, we were engrafted. And as long as we stay engrafted in the branch of Jesus Christ, we're gonna bear fruit. We're gonna put forth fruit. I have a neighbor two doors down, I don't know. I told different ones. My grandfather that lived in the big house down the street, he owned all that property. And when he had all that, before any homes, he had gardens. And he had apple trees and pear trees and all kind of trees. And this summer, I was over their house, and they got a shed there, so I can't really see on the other side there. And I happened to notice there's a fig tree there. And I mean, the thing is huge. The thing is as high as the ceiling. It's probably that big around. And it was loaded with figs. Of course, that caught my attention. If any of you have seen the fig tree out back here that David had planted several years ago, it's got several figs on it now also. And today is the first time I went over there and I picked some figs off and I was able to eat them. And the Bible lets us know, long as we stay engrafted in Jesus Christ, long as we stay a part of the branch that Jesus Christ said, then we will bear fruit also as Christ allows us to bear fruit. A branch. The Bible says that Jesus is the I am. Yes. When Moses talked to God up on the mountain, and God told Moses to go to Pharaoh and deliver the children of Israel, and Moses said to God, he says, "Who do I say send me?" He said, "You tell him I am that I am sent me." And we see way down the road as Jesus Christ walked this earth and Jesus Christ was dealing with some of the Jews and Jesus Christ was talking about Abraham and that Abraham was glad to see his day, desired to see his day and was glad when he seen it. And they criticized Jesus. They said, "You're not, but I think 50 years old. How could you see Abraham that's been dead a long time?" And he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Jesus Christ is the I am. He is the I am of the Old Testament. He is the I am of the New Testament. The Bible lets us know that he is the beginning and the end. He is the Word of God. And John, I didn't write this down, but I love that verse, the very first verse in John chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made." He is God. Amen. Jesus Christ is a part of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. His name is called Jesus. A little story of one solitary life. He was born in an obscure village, the child of a virgin woman. He grew up in still another village where he worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. And then for 3 years, he was a traveling preacher. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never had a family. He never owned a house. He never went to college. He never visited a big city. He never traveled 200 miles from the place where he was born. He did none of those things one usually associates with greatness. He had no current credentials but himself. He was only 33 when the tide of public opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. He was turned over to his enemies, and he went through a mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for his clothes and the only property he had on earth. And when he was dead, they laid him in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 20 centuries have come and gone. And today, Jesus is still the central figure of the human race. Amen. The leader of mankind's progress. All the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that have ever sailed, all the parliaments that have ever sat, all the kings that have ever reigned put together have not affected the life of mankind on earth as much as that one solitary life.
Amen.
Jesus.
Yes.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus. His name shall be called Jesus. Do you know the sweetest name on earth?
Yes.
Jesus. Page 261. You want to turn this 261? There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells me what my Father hath in store for every day. And though I tread a darksome path, yield sunshine all the way. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Amen. Do you know the sweetest name on earth? Jesus.
Yes.
Sister Ann sang that song. The very first three words are is Jesus. 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 There's something about that name. It's not just a name. I was thinking of some of the things that she was reading, how it changes lives, the name of Jesus. There's no other name on earth, no other name given in heaven and earth, whereby you can be saved but through the Amen. Name of Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's open our psalm book On page 385. 385.
Always gives a church a discount, 10% discount.
And many times over the years, I've had things done. Most of the time, they will give us a discount when they're at church. And I'll just recognize that. Does he have a company, or Jason, is his private?
It's his
company. So we appreciate that. Anybody that does benefit the church, even though we live in the world that we live in today, but still, I think people still honor military, church, those in service, so we thank God for that. Aren't you praying for the service?
Jason is another individual that I've had come to church for different things that has remarked what a clean church this is. He has mentioned that, what he said is, and the piano. He says it's not always that way.
I know. I've had that many times. Brother Rick, when he used to clean church, when I had the men come in and do the fire extinguishers, they said, there ain't never fire extinguishers clean. There's always a coating of dust, but they're all wiped down and clean. And I have many people give us a lot of good remarks about the church here anyway. And we thank the Lord for the blessings. Remember the children as they start back to school tomorrow. Many of us don't probably have any children, or I've got grandchildren and all, but still, just in general, I really do feel that our school systems need help, guidance from the Lord, so that us can protect. We'll stand and be dismissed. Brother Bird, if you dismiss us, please.
Great Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in the house of God.
Yes.
Well, we're thankful for listening to the message tonight that you're not just a name. You're more than a name to us. So we're thankful that you're a Savior. That you came to save us one day. But one day that name, even if we've been healed, not only were we saved, we're kept by the power of God.
Yes.
Thanks for your keeping power as well. We appreciate the message tonight, dear God. Even by song, your song for song, have a sweet spirit of God descend upon us one more time. We thank you for that, dear God. You know, with you, we go our separate ways to see the physical needs here upon the congregation. Those that have requests, be with Brother Danny, especially give dear wife the grace. We'll just speak to her one more time. You know, how be Brother Danny's faithful to bring hope for you to God. So just remember that situation, we pray. Bring us back together, we pray. Put your blessings upon us throughout the week. We'll be careful to give the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother. Thank
you,
Brother.
What's that? The recorder.
Is it off?
No.
Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome.